Atlanta South, 471.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and you musicians. We appreciate the good songs. If you would like to read in your Bible with me as I read this morning, I'm going to be reading in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews chapter 9. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, I hope you did, but if you didn't, listen as we read these particular verses that we're going to be reading this morning. I'm going to start in verse 15 of the ninth chapter and read through verse 28, which will be the last verse of this chapter 9. Starting in verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. I read a longer scripture than I normally do, feeling it necessary. And I want to explain a few things in the scripture that I read before I get to my message. You'll notice in this that we read that the words testament and covenant is used a lot. Now, you probably already know that in your Bible, the first part of it is called the Old Testament. The second, the New Testament. The division comes at the time of Christ, the Son of God. Now, the word testament or covenant is similar to all other words in the sense that they have more than just one meaning. Now suppose that I should tell you, and you can't see here on the pulpit, suppose I told you I had a letter here. What would you assume? Probably most of you would assume that I had a piece of paper that someone had written words on and sent to me. That's a letter, isn't it? But some of these children that's just starting to school might think it's one of these that you cut out the letter A. And they might think, that's what I've got here, a letter. So you see, there's two meanings to the word letter. Well, there's also two meanings to testament or covenant. Now, that's what this Bible means. Old Testament means the old covenant. New Testament means the new covenant. But now also it means a will. Like people that make a will, like I did, Gay and I, leaving our daughters all of our money. They're going to get about $10 a piece as stands now. But it's a will. But that will is not valid until we die. Now that's what he is talking about here in the scripture about Christ. He says, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Now, in the Old and New Testament, it is talking about a covenant or contract that God has made with his people. There's the old contract where these people offered animal sacrifices and took their blood and they sprinkled it on the mercy seat of God, and God accepted that as a rolling forth of their sins for a year. But when Christ came, he is to fulfill the New Testament. Make a New Testament. Fulfill the old one. The old one is a shadow and type of what is in the new. Now, some time ago, I spent, I don't know how long it was here, it was on Wednesday nights, teaching Old Testament worship. What all of these things signify. Jesus said, search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which speak of me. In other words, the old covenant was talking about Christ. The animal sacrifices was a shadow and type of Christ. But now he, when he came, was to have a better sacrifice. And this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the sacrifice that satisfied justice for sin. Our sin, if we are believers. There was embedded in the hearts of mankind from the beginning. Now, maybe it was because of the promise that God gave when he talking to Satan and said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And we know that Adam and Eve taught their sons the necessity of offerings to God. And I think even taught them in the right way, because Abel brought the proper and right sacrifice, which was an animal that would shed blood, which was a symbol of Christ. And on down through the years, they always offered a sacrifice of an animal. They would shed the blood of this animal as God instructed them and offer that animal as a sacrifice for sin. And then Moses instituted the law and the Old Testament type worship for national Israel. And all of these things reminded people that sin had to be paid for. And that by some means we could obtain favor with God and at the end of life be acceptable to him. This has been illustrated by what has been recorded in God's word of how people offered these sacrifices. Even history books tell about how people of all walks of life offered sacrifices for their God or gods. Socrates, one of the great philosophers of Greece, made a statement, and I won't quote it right, I know, because it's been a long time since I read it. But he talked about history and how that there may be cities that didn't have certain things. You might find a city without walls. You might find a city that was lacking in a lot of things. But a city that had no place to worship would not be found. Now, that didn't mean everybody worshiped, but that means that every city in the world, as far as they knew, would have some way, some type, some means of worshiping their God. Even if they were God was false. We see in our text that Moses explained to the people concerning the sacrifice of animals. He told them that this was the blood of the testament or covenant that God had made with them. That these sacrifices were necessary to show the patterns of the things of heaven, and that they were purified with blood. They recognized that their sacrifice were only patterns and symbols and shadows of the heavenly things. Then he says that the heavenly things themselves must have a better sacrifice. Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot pay for our sins. For Christ did not enter into the holy place made with hands. He didn't go into the tabernacle. He didn't go into the temple. He didn't go behind the veil. He didn't go to the mercy seat there. He went to a different one. He went into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God the Father. He would not offer himself often as the animal sacrifices, but once in the end of the world, he would appear to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now I want us to notice that this sacrifice was satisfactory for the payment of sin. As we have mentioned, the people of the Old Testament offered sacrifices over and over with the blood of bulls and goats. But as we are told in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But the sacrifice of Christ was offered once for our sins, and that was sufficient. It was sufficient because, first of all, the part of the triune God that John calls the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was necessary that through man sin came, so through man, sin must be paid for. Nothing else was acceptable to God. There could not be a sacrifice of an angel. That would not satisfy justice. It was man that God created, Adam and Eve, that sinned against Him and caused the human race to go into a state of eternal death. And the only way there could be forgiveness for sin is through man. That's why God promised in the beginning, as I mentioned a while ago, the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. It was satisfactory also because this man had no sin himself. Those that have sin has become enemies with God. Not acceptable for a sacrifice. Their blood, which is the life flow, has become tainted. Not pure. The sacrifice for sin must be one that has blood that is pure. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was not sinful in any way. He was without sin. And this made Him acceptable in the eyes of God the Father to be that sacrifice. It was satisfactory because He was willing to be our substitute. He gave Himself. No man took Him. He gave Himself a sacrifice for our sins. He substituted for us. And God the Father was willing to accept that substitution for the sins of many. It was satisfactory because it satisfied the justice of God. The Father saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. Now, if Jesus Christ, and I want you to listen to this closely, if Jesus Christ's sacrifice was satisfactory, why look for something else?
Amen.
Many say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross. But I believe that I must repent of my sins and invite Him into my heart before I am saved. Then His sacrifice was not satisfactory, was it? If it takes anything else, it wasn't satisfactory. Yes, we should repent.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't think that any person is born of the Spirit is unwilling to repent. If you think you can believe in Jesus Christ, but you don't want to repent of your sins, I don't believe God's Spirit is working in your heart.
Amen.
Repentance comes as a result of the Spirit of God, not in order to get it.
Amen.
If we have to add something to it, then Christ's sacrifice is insufficient. Other people say, well, I must live the best life that I can. And if I do that, then I believe that everything's going to be all right. Folks, I agree we ought to live as good as we possibly can. But if it takes your good living, then the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough. If you know that you are a sinner, and you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that He died for your sins, then do not try to add anything else to it. It's an insult to God.
Amen.
Then we notice that His sacrifice was satisfactory in judgment. It's evident in all walks of life that when laws are broken, then justice is demanded. It must be satisfied. There's a continuous teaching in the Word of God that there will be a judgment. Romans 14 and verse 11 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, it tells us of the great white throne judgment, where the books were opened, and the people were judged out of those books. If you are without Christ this morning, you must be judged because of your nature, what you are. Those with the sin nature, God will condemn. He will say unto you, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." That's why we must be born again, that we might be, as it says in Ephesians 2:10, His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. Those that have not this new creature, this new nature, must stand condemned before God. In the last two verses that I read to you this morning, 27 and 28, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Most people never see what these two verses are saying. It's appointed unto man once to die. And everybody says, "Oh yeah, we're going to have to die. No, it's talking about appointments. When did that appointment come? With Adam and Eve. When they ate of that fruit that God said not to eat of, they fell into sin and they brought everybody else into sin, and that appointment started then that everybody will die. But after this, Christ was once offered for the sins of many. What's that last verse telling us? It's telling us that that appointment came to die in Adam and Eve, but Christ was judged in our place. And there is no judgment for us.
Amen.
Now there is one for rewards, but not for eternal life.
Amen. Absolutely.
We will not stand before God to find out if we're going to heaven or hell. Christ was judged in our place. But those without Christ must stand in their sinful nature and be judged. Then I want you to notice here, he was once offered for the sins of many. Not for the sins of all, but many. Adam and Eve rebelled against God and lost their righteous nature. God's justice demanded that they die. But now Christ has been offered for the sins of many. This many are those that believe that Jesus died for them. If you believe this morning that Christ died for you, you profess Him as your Savior, you're in that many.
Amen.
These are those that God has given a new nature. Because of this new nature, we look for Him to come again. And when He does appear the second time, He'll deliver us from this body of sin unto the glorious salvation that God has prepared for us. To those many that He was offered for, God judged at the cross. He put upon Christ the sins of us all. Judgment for our eternal destiny was at the cross of Christ. When this life is over, the Lord comes again. We that are in Christ will not be judged to see if we will go to heaven, for Christ has already been judged for that.
Amen.
We will be judged only for our works to receive any rewards that God would give us. If you're here today without Christ, you must be judged for your eternal destiny. I pray that God will touch your heart. I pray that you'll come to Christ, believing in Him, confessing Him as your Savior, and living for Him the rest of your life here upon this earth.
Amen.
Let us stand. I ask Brother Den and our musicians to come. I pray that God has spoken to your heart today, that you will see that Christ and His sacrifice is sufficient for your sin. What number are we going to sing, Brother Den?
154.
Number 154, and God speaks to your heart today. I hope He does. He's not going to speak all of you.
He'll lay upon your heart a burden for what he wants you to do.
Amen.
I pray those that are without Christ will be a burden you to come to Jesus.
Amen.
As we see this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that dawned my heart to be, and grace my fears relieved. How precious dear that grace would be, the hour I was sleeping.
In a moment we're going to sing one more verse, but I hope you notice that second verse. Grace my fears. How precious is that grace?
Judgment from God than other people.
Amen.
It is no disgrace, no dishonor, but it is one of the highest honors in the land to fulfill the role that God has called you to. Don't let Satan lead you into the same mistake, ladies, that he did Eve. She was supposed to be a helpmate to Adam. She took the role of leadership. You see where that God called you back. A mother, a woman, is to be a teacher of her children. Yes, a father is too. Mother is with them more. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God lays down a strict role for parents to their children in teaching God's Word. When you read it, you see lots of it has to do with the mother. This mother has more lasting effect upon her children than anything else in the world. God said to teach His Word diligently to your children. Paul said to Timothy, the faith that is in you. Now listen to this. He said, Timothy, the faith that is in you, that was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. You see, in your role as a mother and as a wife, you are a light to the world. You shine wherever you go. Satan is not going to like it. He doesn't like it. It is Satan's role to dominate those people that he can and try to make it to where that the role of a mother and wife is a disgrace. Because he knows what a man in England said years ago. The hand that rocks the cradle. What our children are taught in the home is what our society will be tomorrow. Let not this law depart from your mouth or from your heart.
Yes. Amen.
But let us all take the role that God has given to us. Let us exalt Him in our life that others can see in us. Let us stand. I ask our song leader and musician to come. Maybe God has spoken to your heart today through this message. If He has, there's something on your heart. If you've never come to Christ, then God has dealt with you in spirit that you might come. If your life has not been what it should be as a Christian and you need to dedicate it publicly, whatever the case might be, as we sing and offer this invitation, will you come? Would you come? One number, brother. In the book. sing and as God speaks to